Support for KNKX comes from Alaska Airlines, with most flights offering power at each seat so travelers can keep their phones, laptops, or tablets fully charged in flight. More at alaskaair.com.
Time now for Going Places here on KNKX. With millions of passengers each year, SeaTac Airport operates almost like a city. That also means it has a significant impact on the environment. 88.5's Ed Ronco visits the airport to learn about some of its environmental initiatives and some of its challenges.
We're in a van on the ramp where planes drive around and park at the gates. And in the pavement, there are these little metal slots. They look sort of like those expansion joints on freeways. They're designed to handle something that could cause big environmental problems for the airport: rain.
Just for some context, when there's an inch of rain on the ramp area, that translates into 8 million gallons of stormwater runoff.
Arlen Purcell is SeaTac Airport's Director of Aviation Environmental Services.
The good news is that we treat all of our stormwater before it leaves the airport.
These drains lead to an industrial wastewater system that treats the water before it gets further treatment by King County. Maybe the most visible example of the airport's environmental footprint, though, for passengers anyway, is trash. Inside the terminal, people separate their garbage into three bins: trash, composting, and recycling. But what happens afterward? Purcell says they have compactors around the airport for tenants to use.
One of those compactors is for recycling and the other one is for trash. And if you are a tenant and you use the recycling compactor, you get to use it for free. If you use the trash compactor, you have to pay for that.
They're situated around the outside of the terminal, including on the ramp, which is where we're standing now, not too far away from the tires of a sizable passenger jet. And by the way, they look a lot bigger, those jets, when you're standing next to them. Purcell points out a white pipe running along the jet bridge. It leads to a yellow hose which connects to the aircraft, and it is supplying what's called preconditioned air, or PC air. Here's how it works.
When you're sitting in an aircraft and you get to the gate, you know, there's a point where the lights go off and then they go back on again and you feel the ventilation kick up. Well, traditionally, that would have been provided by an auxiliary engine at the back of the aircraft called an APU. And that engine burns fuel. But what we offer instead is for that power to be provided by us through our electrical system,
which saves fuel, which emits less carbon. The airport has a goal of being carbon neutral by 2050 on the emissions it can control directly. As we talk about all these environmental issues the airport handles, we still have not mentioned a big one: the planes themselves. Commercial aviation contributes to carbon dioxide emissions, obviously. But should passengers feel guilty about their flying? I asked that to Dennis Hartman, a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. And when I brought it up, he mentioned his son in Dallas, who is about to become a dad himself.
I'm going to fly down there to see that child, and I'm not going to feel particularly guilty about it.
Right now, there are not a lot of alternatives for quick travel over long distances. Aviation contributes about 2% of the carbon dioxide emitted globally, and Hartman says it's not really getting any better.
You know, engines have become more efficient, routing schemes are more efficient, but the growth in the aviation industry has, you know, completely overwhelmed that, so the contributions are increasing with time rather than getting better.
And this is maybe where one of the airport's biggest environmental challenges comes in. It can only control so much. Airlines make decisions about how frequently and how far to fly, so SeaTac Airport says it tries to influence their behavior. It's working to expand a sustainable aviation fuels program, letting the planes use biofuels, which they say has a smaller carbon footprint. As you look around the ramp, you can't help but notice how complicated a place this is. We've only scratched the surface, especially on the environment. We'll probably revisit some of those topics in future episodes of Going Places, but this wraps up our three-part series on the airport. And if you want to hear parts 1 and 2, you can visit our website, knkx.org. I'm Ed Ronco.